Daily Drive is brought to you by Joyson Safety Systems. Joyson Safety Systems is proud to be part of an industry that shows resilience and determination in the fight against COVID-19. Our team is committed to saving lives, even if that means shifting our focus from automotive safety to medical safety, because safety is our middle name.
I'm Jason Stein, publisher of Automotive News, and this is Daily Drive. It's Tuesday, May 26th. After a two-month layoff, going back to work for many in U.S. auto plants has been anything but rudimentary. Last week was a test for companies attempting to restart the engines of the North American industry. Automakers spent weeks stocking up on masks, reconfiguring plant walkways, decluttering common areas, and coordinating with suppliers to ensure they could safely call back workers, even as the national death toll rises. A day in the life of an assembly plant worker now includes a health survey before entering the building, one-way access into the plant, temperature checks, lunch breaks in solitude, and time on the line wearing masks, sometimes for up to 10 hours. So as the world of manufacturing comes back, albeit slowly, what does life look like inside the plants? Automotive News reporters Mike Martinez and Hannah Lutz have spent time listening to those workers and reporting on their findings. Yesterday, on Monday, May 25th, their story appeared on the front page of Automotive News. We've reached Mike and Hannah at their homes in Southeast Michigan. Hi, Mike. Hi, Hannah.
Jason.
Hannah, I want to start with you. Let's talk about some of the safety protocols that changed over the course of the last week on the restart. What workers had to do when they arrived, when they left, and while they're there.
Sure, Jason. So the UAW and the Detroit 3, along with the various states that their plants are in, had been working hard on coming up with a new health and safety protocol that satisfied each party. So when the workers reported back starting on Monday, everything looked pretty different and felt pretty different, because once they got through the gate, they had to, for the most part, grab a mask, use hand sanitizer, answer a health questionnaire with questions like, have you been traveling? Have you been in contact with anybody who has the virus? Any potential symptoms? They get a temperature screening, and then they can move on to their station. But throughout the day, things also look different. There are partitions that divide the assembly line, dividers in the lunchroom and the break room. So they're really taking the physical distancing seriously, and they're required to wear masks and, in some cases, safety goggles all day.
So I want to get into some of those specifics, because I know that it's changed life on the plant floor. And Mike, I know that you interviewed a 33-year-old employee at Ford's Kentucky truck plant named David Sokol. And David described in pretty vivid detail how his life has changed while building Super Duty pickups, Expeditions, and Lincoln Navigators. Tell me what's new in David's world.
Well, pretty much everything's new. And it starts before he even gets in the plant. He has to fill out that health questionnaire that Hannah mentioned. And they're told to fill it out at least a half hour before their shift starts. So he'll typically get there a couple minutes early, sit in his car and fill it out on his phone. And obviously you have to wind your way through this line. Another worker described it to me like a Cedar Point line maze to get in to get your temperature scanned and get in the facility. And he said one of the bigger changes is actually when he takes a break to eat. And typically, you know, people play cards, they talk, they enjoy their break time together. But now he's sitting at a picnic table, kind of isolated. There's this black partition that sort of walls him off from everyone else. He described it like being in elementary school and trying to take a test, and they don't want you cheating on the test, so they put this partition up to block your view. David has a pretty interesting perspective. He's a third-generation worker. His grandfather worked at the Lorraine plant in Ohio. His father worked at Ohio Assembly, and now he's been transferred to Kentucky Truck, and he said this is unlike anything he's ever encountered, unlike anything his family has encountered as well.
And specifically, when he's just sticking with Mr. Sokol for a moment, wearing masks while trying to assemble vehicles has become an enormously tough task. And you describe in pretty vivid detail just what that's doing to him as a worker.
It's pretty tough, and that's a gripe we've heard from many workers over the past week whom we've spoken with. you know, it's all great to say wear a mask to protect yourself, but, you know, 9-10 hours into a 10-hour shift, your ears start to become rubbed raw by those elastic straps. So many workers have went online and purchased really simple bands that sort of connect to the back of your head so you're not, you know, hurting your ears as much. It starts to get sweaty in there. The mask gets kind of sweaty and nasty. They have to change them out. So while they are necessary, while they do protect them, it can be pretty uncomfortable in practical terms.
Hannah, you also have workers who are feeling pretty uncertain in this environment, and there's a real fear of the unknown. What did you learn from some of the folks who you talked to?
Well, most think that the safety protocol is a good thing and will help. But yeah, there is that fear of the unknown. They're being extra careful and just trying not to touch anything. The doors are propped open, so that helps. But even pushing through the turnstile, they don't want to use their hand. They want to push through with their body or their bag. And, you know, there's so much unknown about the virus, and there's still so many cases out there and cases that they know about within their own workforce, within the UAW, that it just leads to some fear. They most want to be back at work in a way because they need to keep life moving, but at the same time, they are very fearful about catching the virus, and they're not quite sure that wearing a mask and keeping their distance and using hand sanitizer will completely protect them. So that's been a major fear. Something that Arlene Williams, who works at Romulus Powertrain, told me is that, you know, what do you do to prevent yourself from getting the coronavirus? There's not one solution yet. There's not a vaccine. So if they had their choice to come back, she says they probably wouldn't. But as she put it, everybody has a job to do.
And Arlene Williams, a 49-year-old machine operator at that plant, and she was really concerned that the curve wasn't flattened yet enough in Michigan, right?
She was. And Michigan has been hit pretty hard by the virus. So it's probably hard for these people who go home every night or every morning, wake up and watch the news and see that the curve isn't completely flat, and yet they're still reporting to work. Manufacturing was one of the first industries to reopen in Michigan. So that has caused some alarm, too, and some ask themselves, well, why are we the ones to go back first? Why are we kind of the test cases?
So the fears are somewhat founded, too, when you think about the early hiccups that occurred just last week. It illustrated, indeed, how challenging this restart can be. And, Mike, I want to talk to you about a couple of those instances because Ford was hit particularly early in this. Tell our listeners what happened and when, and I guess that's framed around the whole issue of the fears being somewhat founded.
Exactly. Not more than 24 hours after all these assembly plants reopened for the first time since March, did Ford have to shut down the lines at its Chicago assembly plant. They had a pair of workers test positive for the coronavirus. They had passed through the temperature scanners. They had filled out and passed their daily health survey. So they were on the line when they started to experience symptoms and went home and were ultimately found to have the virus. And that really shows that no matter, you know, everything they've put in place up to this point, there's still some holes in those plans because you can't really tell who's symptomatic or asymptomatic if they're not sneezing, if they're not showing those symptoms. So these workers are concerned. You know, David mentioned to me that it's sort of hanging over all their heads. They're looking at their coworkers, working next to them on the line, using these same tools, touching these same vehicle parts, and they don't know who might be positive or who might not be, and there's not a mass testing regimen in place yet to sort of quell those fears.
And Hannah, GM had a couple of cases as well, correct?
Right. So at the Lockport Components facility in New York, there were two people who tested positive. They were apparently tested before coming back to work last week, and they tested positive a couple of days into being back. So in GM's case, they didn't have to shut down operations. They were able to clean and disinfect disinfect without doing that, but it does lead to even more fear among the workforce.
So, Mike, when you think back to your conversations with, you know, some of these workers, you think about where we are in the industry right now, what's the path forward in terms of confidence, you feel?
It varies from worker to worker. I think there's a general unease, like Hannah said, because of all of those unknowns. But for the most part, the folks I spoke with said they were relatively happy with how the companies and the UAW worked together to put all these things in place. You know, it was no easy feat for those two sides to come to an agreement and to sort of hash out all these plans. It took weeks to put into place. So they're happy with what's there, but they also recognize that, you know, at the end of the day, you can't stop the virus from getting in certain instances. So there will be a risk. So there's some concern, but I think an overall an acceptance of the fact that, yeah, we sort of kind of have to get back to work at some point, and we're going to just try to get used to this new normal.
And finally, Hannah, when I go back to Arlene Williams working in Romulus Powertrain and her final quote, the quote that ends our story this week is, everybody has a job to do. That sort of sums it up, doesn't it?
It does. And yeah, they're taking it seriously. They're getting back to work, getting back to the routines. And despite the challenges with wearing masks and following some of the other protocol, they're doing it. You know, they're doing it for, like sources said, for their loved ones who work in healthcare, the people that they know who have had the virus. They find good reason to comply and to be back at work.
Hannah, thank you very much.
Thank you, Jason.
And Mike, thank you. We will continue to watch both of you reporting in the pages of Automotive News. We've reached Mike Martinez and Hannah Lutz at their homes in Southeast Michigan. And that's Daily Drive for Tuesday, May 26th. For breaking news, go to autonews.com. And for a library of these stories, go to autonews.com/dailydrive. We'll be back Wednesday. And now, a word from our sponsor.
At Joyson Safety Systems, safety is our middle name. It's in everything we do. Our team is committed to saving lives, even if that means shifting our focus from automotive safety to medical safety. We are honored to join our colleagues and competitors in the fight against COVID-19 by quickly pivoting to produce vital equipment and supplies. Joyson Safety is grateful to be part of an industry that is fiercely competitive and equally compassionate and collaborative when the world needs us. To date, we have worked in collaboration with OEM customers to engineer and produce reusable medical isolation gowns and adjustable belts for breathing respirators at JSS facilities across North America. Our production of polyester woven fabric was re-engineered to create medical tents in coronavirus hot zones. And we thank several of our global locations that are producing millions of medical masks every week. Together, our industry has saved lives. We are humbled by the numerous companies and industries that have taken steps to combat this virus, putting people over profits. We see acts of selflessness like this as proof that our world will prevail after these bleak times. At Joyson Safety Systems, we are proud to have played a role in helping restore the health and safety of people across the globe, because safety is our middle name.